was a monster performance from you, an international rookie record, 4 touchdowns. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it felt great. I think obviously, you know, we got to keep getting better. I can't turn the ball over like that in the wide open. Touchdown to DJ. You know, a few things that were going on throughout the game, you know, that I got to be better at. But I think the progress that we've had is going to keep growing. I think we have great leaders and a great personality to this team that I've talked about many times. And so I think all that's going to keep growing. I think we got to keep going.
Mullion-Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Stacey Dales talking to Caleb Williams after the game. And here's a couple. We said there's been thousands of different things. Here's a couple of little factoids for you, Mr. David. Williams became the 4th rookie quarterback with at least 4 touchdown passes and 50 yards rushing. And he joins Hall of Famer Troy Aikman, did it in 1989, Robert Griffin III, who did it in 2012, and Deshaun Watson, who did it in 2017. All I can say is thank God Troy Aikman did it, that he's in that conversation. You wouldn't want him.
You want to be compared to Troy Aikman.
Yes. Yeah,
that's good company to keep.
Not RG3 or Deshaun Watson.
Well, that's a real stat, though. That's one that has some teeth because of the way it's compared to other rookie quarterbacks. The other one about being the first quarterback to throw 4 touchdowns in a game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
You can call it Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs Stadium. Well, I think that in the first rookie with multiple touchdown passes in a regular season international game, that seems kind of made up.
His 79.3 completion percentage is the 3rd highest ever by a rookie quarterback in a game with at least 4 touchdown passes. He trails only Robert Griffin III, who was at 93.3% in 2012, and Marcus Mariota, who was at 86.7% in 2015.
So we go back to preseason, and we hear from Ryan Poles, and we talk about what he said, waiting for Caleb Williams to do the special. And so the first few weeks, it was a little harder to find because he struggled maybe in relative to the way the last 3 games have gone. But against the Titans, against the Texans, against the Colts, there were ups and downs. The last 3 weeks have been more consistent, and we have seen the special. What he did yesterday, the touchdown passes to Keenan Allen especially, the one in the middle of the end zone where he put it right where only Keenan Allen could catch it, and then the fade route, again, same kind of situation. That's real arm talent. And then for him to hold himself accountable in the aftermath of the game, right after they're walking into the locker room, and Stacey Dales, as we heard there, the one thing he wants to talk about is the interception, because that's foremost in his mind. That tells you about a guy who's committed to getting better. He's going to continue to improve, and that's exciting. That's the most exciting aspect of this 4-2 start.
I think there's a lot of exciting aspects of it. But I agree with you that that's probably the one that stays with you the most.
That's what's different.
He's an excellent a player, and he's improving in front of our eyes. And I get it. Everyone's going to say, who are they playing? You know, they're playing the worst pass defense, 30th, 31st, 32nd pass defenses in the league. I don't care. They're winning, and it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. It's also know what you're watching, because when you saw the NFL Network cameras catch Caleb Williams and break down his eye movement before and during a play, and Kurt Warner going through the progressions. And that is what, regardless of who you're playing against, that is muscle memory. That is experience that matters. You're getting used to diagnosing, processing things quickly. And we have seen the game slowing down for Caleb Williams. And we start to understand why when you see him make his progressions and reads throughout the course of after the ball is snapped. Not to compare, but we have seen quarterbacks come through town that haven't been very good or adept at processing things quickly at the line of scrimmage or after the ball is snapped. This may be Caleb Williams' superpower, if you will. He's got the arm talent, but his ability to process things quickly is what sets him apart.
312-644-6767. Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. May I be the first to say that Kopelman is our version of Shohei Ohtani in football? I mean, the guy did it both ways. And, you know, I just want to say, first of all, it was amazing to see that stadium full of Chicago Bear fans and people on social media from other countries like Italy, Germany, France, with their Chicago Bear fan flags. And I just hats off to the Chicago Bear fans. It's just amazing to see how this team touches the world. And if I could just get your comment, there's one play that really impressed me. Williams is running towards the sidelines, two linemen coming at him. He throws across his body and hits Komet, I believe, was down the middle. And I'm like, we're thinking throw it out of bounds or run out of bounds. And just amazing. And it's just a happy, happy day to be a Bears fan. I don't care if we're beating a bad team, because if we lost that game, we'd be having a different conversation. Go Bears!
It's a great point, John.
Thanks, John. Appreciate great the phone point. Call.
Yep.
Caleb Williams did gain a lot of yards on the ground. He rushed four times for 56 yards, and he had a long of 23.
Yep.
And so he was looking to make some plays with his feet. But I also think John's point's well taken. When he scrambles, he keeps his eyes down the field. And that play he's describing, Cole Kmet did break open late, and it looked like he was going to just throw the ball out of bounds and just take to live to snap another play. But he found Kmet across the middle. It turned into a big gain. And it was another example of why Caleb Williams, when he keeps plays alive, he's not looking just to run. He's looking to make a play down the field.
Yeah, he ran to his right, and he looked like he was going to throw the ball away. And then all of a sudden, Kmet is right off the line of scrimmage. Yep. He throws in the ball, and it's nothing but yardage. It was a great little moment in the game, and I believe Kurt Warner called it out for exactly what it was.
Good awareness.
Point. Yeah, yep. No question. Let's try Dennis. Dennis is in Riverside.
Hey, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Bless you.
I wanted to, you know, people have come down on the coaching, especially Eberflus. But I got to say, yesterday I didn't have the feeling that I've had for so many years when the Bears have the lead, the fear that they're going to blow it. I didn't have that. And to say that, while you're down Brisker, you're down Stevenson, and then later in the game, you're down Gordon. To see the backups come in and play the way they did, that speaks volumes for this coaching staff. And it felt really good, you know, and they didn't take their foot off the gas. It feels like a totally different team, and I'm really happy to see it.
Dennis, that's a good phone call. Thanks for making it. I think two things. When you look at – let's start with the defense, because then we'll get to the offense as a broader conversation. Defensively, what did we say last week going into the game when Elijah Hicks was replacing Jaquan Brisker? If we were talking too much about Elijah Hicks on Monday morning, it means probably for the wrong reasons. He had a solid game.
He did fine.
He broke up a pass in the end zone. Yeah. He was physical. He didn't miss tackles openly. So he was one of three defensive backs that stepped up and stood out. You look at Josh Blackwell, who came in after Kyler Gordon left. That was a big moment. He had a pick, and he made his presence felt. Jalen Jones made 10 tackles. I think that was tied for the team leader. He led the Bears in tackles, stepping in for Tyreek Stevenson, who injured himself on a Thursday. Those three guys, when Ryan Poles goes back in preseason and said it's going to be tough to make this team, that's kind of what he's talking about. This defensive secondary is deep and talented, and these are guys. They were also missing Terrell Smith, so they were missing four defensive backs that they typically rely upon, and they did not miss a beat.
No, they did very well. They did well. You know, we talked about Cowart and Williams getting a sack or a half sack. You know, it is extraordinary how many contributing players were there. And I thought it was interesting because on the broadcast, they said that they talked to Kevin Byard, I think it was. No, they talked to Jalen Johnson and asked him, who did they talk to? They talked to one of their players and asked him who's the best player on the defense? And he answered with seven names. I think that's accurate. I think that they have a lot of really good players. Maybe, You know, Montez Sweat's a great player. Maybe that's the best player on defense. Maybe Jalen Johnson is the best player on that defense. You could have that argument about who's more valuable and who's more important. But, you know, there are other guys, too. There are a bunch of guys. I think it was DJ Edmonds that they talked to that came up with seven players. I mean, he's one of them, too.
Yeah.
As is, you know, the
T.J. Edwards.
Yes.
Tremaine Edmonds. They're both could be candidates for that role.
Right.
I think, yeah, it's a great point. They have a lot of players that are very good NFL players. I think that in Jalen Johnson, they have an elite cornerback who has established that or reestablished that this year. This year, through six games, he's allowed fewer than half his targets to be completed. That's a league-leading 20.8 passer rating allowed in coverage, according to Next Gen Stats. That is how you earn a reputation for being a shutdown cornerback and elite at your position. That's how you become an all-pro.
That's how you become a pro bowler.
And that's how you earn the money that they're giving you in a big contract. Let's get to the offense for a moment. So the last caller referenced how the offense protected the lead or built on the lead, and it's back-to-back 30-point outputs for the first time in 11 seasons. So that play that we talked about, Shane Waldron drew up, brought from Seattle, was the double fake, then down the middle to Cole Kmet. That was set up on the previous play. It was the same action in motion, two snaps in a row. And I guess we have to give credit to Shane Waldron because we have picked apart everything else that he has done. That was pretty creative. That was pretty cool.
That was
and I think
excellent.
I don't think you can run it probably again for a couple weeks, but you wonder what else he has, you know, in that playbook after they get through the first 15.
Well, I agree with you. And I also think that Caleb Williams, as Olin mentioned, and I think it's an excellent point, is totally committed. He is going to sell any fake he's doing. He's going to work on his cadence every time they're going to try to do it. It doesn't matter if anyone's buying it or not. He's going to sell it to you. That's good quarterback play. That's how you do it. You have the commitment to it, and you try it. And if you're gonna make a fake, you sell it to the right. You turn, you sell it to the left, and then you go down the middle of the field. I love that he's buying in on doing whatever the coaches are asking him to do.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's coaching.
It's a wonderful thing.
That's
a
guy who's receptive to coaching, and that's a quarterback, a franchise quarterback who is coachable, which is not always the case. You don't see examples of Caleb Williams, you know, having issues with his coaches, and that after the week, and you know, the Bears have had a pretty, as far as the relationships and the communication, that's received a lot of scrutiny over the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And now it seems like everybody's getting along. The communication has improved, and so is the execution, not surprisingly.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Let's try Andy. Andy is in Bloomingdale. Hey, Andy.
Good morning, guys. I know nobody's going to want to hear this, but, I mean, I love the Bears. I've followed them my whole life. I'm 66, but I really want to see what they're going to – when they start playing the elite teams, then we really can really compare – how good our guys really are. I mean, sure, we playing teams we should beat. I'm all happy we're winning, but don't you really want to see what we really are when we really play the elite teams, the Vikings? Everybody left it pretty much in our division are the elite teams that we got to play now, right?
Right.
Yes.
I don't know, Andy. I mean, 10 of 24.
Andy, you are absolutely correct in questioning how good the opponents are, et cetera. We did this in the pick six. Our second question was about keeping perspective given the opponent's records. And we said, do you feel better now that we've acknowledged that? And now we can go back to just enjoying a victory Monday.
Yeah.
We acknowledge it. We know how bad these pass defenses are. But, you know, you can only play the opponents in front of you. You can't say, you know, we're ready for the damn Chiefs. This week, forget the bye, we're going to play. That's not how the NFL works.
They lost 24 games the last two seasons. Every Monday, it seemed we would come in here and talk about why the Bears let another victory squander, get away from them, and why they aren't able to finish games and what they can't do in the fourth quarter. You have started out winning four of your first six games. You've got a special quarterback. If you allow yourself as a Bears fan, just enjoy it for a moment.
Hey, you know,
savor what you're experiencing. And you know what? The reality will come at you fast enough.
We all know. We all know who they've played. But the fact is, you stacked victories over those teams. How many years have you seen what looked like a good schedule go to hell because they stepped on a game or two and fell apart? It is.
Yeah.
You just relax and enjoy. It's the bye week. We're going to learn more and more as the season goes on, but they're 4-2. That's a 67.3% chance to make the playoffs. Feel good about it.
Hit reset at the bye week. Start to look at things as a start of a new season if you're Matt Eberflus. That's the way you want to approach this if you're the Bears. If you're a Bears fan, just try to enjoy the next couple weeks of pondering what does seem possible. You're going to be in contention. You're playing in the toughest division in football, but you have a team because you have a defense, because you have a quarterback that makes competing in that division feasible, realistic, even likely. Enjoy it.
I mean, again, like we're all from here. We all know the history of the team. David and I have been inside the sausage factory. We have seen underneath the hood of the car.
You know how hard it is to win a game.
Yeah, we understand why they haven't won over these many years. And believe me, this is a much better situation. But if they're a false team, it will become evident in not very long time.
You can't be a pretender for long in the NFL.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're winning, the fact that they're improving as they do so, the fact that they're building confidence will only help them when they eventually play the more difficult teams. And also remember that they play those teams every year. There's a familiarity between common opponents, and they play them all a couple of times. That comes into play, too. It's how teams play against each other, etc. I get it. They can't beat the flower, and that's a problem. Maybe this is the year. Maybe it is.
So, maybe this is the year.
Comité.
You don't know how the Lions are going to respond to losing their best defensive player.
Exactly.
And you never know if the Vikings come back to earth when Sam Darnold wakes up. Because he's going to wake up.
Good point. It's going to happen. All right. 312-644-6767. We're going to stay with your calls.
Yeah, and we're going to also talk about some other things that happen around the league when we come back. But before that, you want to be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of four-day general admission passes to the Windy City Smokeout next summer. Start planning now, 312-540-0670.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Guy's been in the system longer than me.
Yeah.
So I think I just try to bring a common presence, make sure I'm just communicating as much as possible. And like I said, man, those guys showed up when their moment showed up. So like I said, just proud of the unit, proud of the guys, man. We're about to have a party on this plane.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was after the game. That was Kevin Byard talking about the fun playing home. And you heard DJ tell us it was probably a little more energetic and happy than
went faster.
He was ready.
Yeah, you're not sitting there.
He wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah, you're not sitting there wondering how many hours you have left. You probably enjoyed the trip more than you would have after a loss. The Jaguars stay in London. They play again this week. Cool moment before the final touchdown, Mully, that was worth mentioning for our we have a lot of, obviously, people from Hinsdale Central.
Sure.
A couple local guys in the huddle at the same time. Doug Kramer, part of the heavy package.
Mm-hmm.
They also brought in Kieran Amagaji, part of the heavy package. He was lined up as a third tackle, and Doug Kramer was lined up as the fullback.
Yeah.
So you had two Hinsdale Central guys in the huddle, local guys at the same time, probably with Cole Kmet in there too. How many Chicago area kids can you fit into a huddle? So
not Scott Daly.
No, poor guy.
Yeah, had a knee injury.
That was bad.
We'll see.
But that was neat. And then they score on the touchdown, make it 35-10. And then the picture was one they'll hang in the hallways of Hinsdale Central for a very long time. They tweeted it out. They're very proud of that. Yes, they did.
That's very cool.
Pretty cool.
All right, we got tons of people who want to check in. Let's get through some phone calls. Chad is on the road. Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Living the dream.
Living the dream. That's my statement. You can't use that.
No, I stole it.
Hey, quick question. Aiden Hutchinson injury.
Oh.
I have a problem with that. I want to wish first that Aiden Hutchinson, I love the way he plays. Mm-hmm. He's an awesome player. He just plays the game correctly. My problem is that the NFL has protected the quarterbacks to the point now that these young men have to adjust their tackling forms and are going to these spinning tackles instead of hitting them high or hitting them low. And now these spinning tackles are causing injuries, be it Aiden Hutchinson breaking his leg, obviously, or individuals falling on the backs of linemen's knees. I think it's a real issue that we've come to the point in the NFL that we're protecting the quarterbacks too much, and I think it needs to be addressed.
Well,
I didn't get that from the Aiden Hutchinson injury. I saw it, yeah.
I didn't see that's how he got hurt. I did notice that Tommy Tremble was indeed fined by the league. I believe he got a fine of $17,083 for putting his head down in the hit that gave...
I saw that too, and I was glad that happened.
Yes.
Because these are two different issues.
Yes, but I'm glad that we mentioned it because that is the concussion.
Jaquan Brisker suffered a concussion because Tommy Tremble lowered his head.
Yes,
and Jaquan Brisker absorbed the blow.
Yes,
it wasn't Jaquan Brisker not knowing how to tackle properly.
Right, right.
They are trying to protect quarterbacks. I understand why. I don't know that the Aiden Hutchinson example. He got to the quarterback and he was wrapped around. Awkwardly, when he ran into and collided with another teammate, I have to look at it again to see if that is valid. What is being suggested? I didn't see that initially, and I didn't have that first reaction.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate for the league when you have the guy who was the odds-on favorite to be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year through six games.
Yes,
regardless of what it means to the NFC North division race, the Lions may be good enough to overcome it. We'll wait and see. But you feel terrible for a young man to be going through what he's going through now.
I totally agree with you. 312-644-6767. Joe's on the road. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joel.
Hey, Joe.
I don't understand, or maybe I'm just frustrated by everyone or all the people who are dismissing these wins because they're against bad teams. Kind of missing the point. Means the Bears aren't one of those bad teams. Just watch that. 162-game Cubs season, and every couple of weeks people say, oh, now's when they're going to catch up. They're going to beat up on the bad teams. And then why didn't they beat the bad teams? It's because they were one of the bad teams. The Bears are doing this, let's face it, without much of an offensive line, so that's pretty cool.
Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for the reminder, Joe.
It was a gratuitous shot at the offensive line.
A little bit, or maybe gratuitous shot at the Cubs.
That was definitely a gratuitous shot.
Yes, it was.
But Dustin nodded his head.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, well-deserved they got shot. It coming. Please. 83 wins are running in place.
You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, period, end of story. And I mean, I wish they were beating better teams so we'd all feel better, but hey, they're winning.
Just happy. And you could look at it and make the argument that they are getting, they're improving, they're heading in the right direction so they'll be more prepared when they do play
more difficult teams. They're learning their team. They're learning to play together. They're feeling a growth in confidence.
And rookie quarterbacks need experience. Success.
That's exactly right.
When the Vikings and the Lions and the Packers appear on the schedule, the Bears will be more prepared and better for having victories rather than moral victories.
Shad's on the road. Hey, Shad.
What's going on, Mully? David, what's happening, my guy? Hey,
what's up,
look,
Shad?
You know, anytime you get a bye week, when you got a 10-month roll, you got to think rest, Mully. You got to think rest. Okay? This is the most important thing this week.
Sleep.
I want the guys with sleep. I want these guys to get rested up. Keenan Allen, some of the veterans that have had a little bit of nagging injuries through the first 5-6 weeks. But my 3 points of emphasis coming out of the bye, it's got to be shoring up the run defense. It's got to be somebody pass blocking. And if it's Braxton Jones taking a seat down and having Cameron Adaraje come in and left tackle over the bye week, this would be a great time to try that out. Then also the third point of emphasis out of everything, I think it's leaning into the identity that they started to build, so that leaning into these bad weather games going forward, the identity is kind of established and they can kind of start building off of some of this good mojo. What y'all think about that?
I like it. I mean, you know, look.
It's right. It's the right idea.
It seems like they're buying into everything they're doing. It seems like they've got a lot of good things going for them. I think we feel that Matt Eberflus as a defensive coordinator is excellent. He can make adjustments. I think we feel better about what they're doing on offense, and they are getting better. And you're getting, you know, Keenan Allen healthier and more involved. The use of the tight end was excellent. No shadow of a doubt.
Really was.
I mean, you know, you don't have a coach screaming at people on the sideline because he's tired of the booing. You know, there are good things to look at with the Bears that don't exist in other places.
Again,
you don't have people saying our team is quitting. And you don't have, I'm telling you.
What a difference a year makes, Mully, because what you're describing are examples in other NFL teams and cities of dysfunction. And a year ago at this time, we were reeling in Chicago about the Bears' dysfunction at Halas Hall. They have cleaned things up in more ways than one. They've got two barbers now. And they look like a million, but they're also – this is the one thing I keep going back to. And this is by design. This is not accidental. The Bears have a locker room full of guys with high football character. And they have a chemistry that is beginning to matter. And so when you see them going to London and they go early, it's not something that you hear privately players grousing about. You hear them going to the English countryside and calling it a good trip because it was training camp-like. And I think that's the kind of thing that when you win games and you start to develop a pattern and a habit, winning's a habit. And so these are the positive signs you're seeing emerge from this season early on, regardless of the opponent.
Have a texter earlier checked in and said, if you have two barbers, you don't have one. It's kind of like quarterbacks, right? So
I don't know that it's like quarterbacks.
I think in this case, they got a quarterback and they got a victory formation specialist.
Okay. Well, but you know, speaking of Tyson Bagent, he could probably use a good barber.
Jeez.
Long flowing locks, maybe a little trim.
Why can't the guy wear his hair the way he wants?
Huh? Little trim. I don't know.
You tell that hippie to get a haircut. What decade are we in, Mr. David? I mean, really, if you're going to cut someone's hair, shouldn't the barber have gone after the Jacksonville quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
How about the three fans? Did you catch that?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was great.
I thought they looked...
The fans were great. I mean, they really were, I thought.
I thought they looked like, what's his name? I didn't think they looked like him, like Trevor Lawrence. I thought they looked like, who's the guy in Las Vegas that got benched? They looked like, who's the, what's his name?
Gardner Minshew?
Yes.
Minshew,
I thought they looked like, they looked too Minshew. They looked too Minshew for me.
I like the Ditka lookalike. That guy was hysterical. Yeah.
We should have the nail specialist come in. What'd you call him?
Nail tech.
Yeah, we get a nail tech.
Nail tech.
And then we go to the game dressed like Ditka.
Is Dustin painting his nails for the next Bears home game?
That's what he said. He said he was going to get a 10th. Nail tech in here.
Again, remember, this will be, I don't know, the 100th time. Not against painting the nails. I'm against the message on the painted nails.
It's not Blank the 100th ND? Time. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I think he should.
It was a message that was offensive. It wasn't the nail polish. It's a good point.
Thank you.
Myron's on the south side. Hey, Myron.
Hey, fellas. How we doing today?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. Mully, I agree with what you're saying. David, he got the same bad attitude from the last time I called in. It's like he always beating us up all the time. We can't do nothing right in David Hall's eyes. But
Clarify what am I complaining about, Myron?
Why can't you?
David, you do this to us all the time, David. Are you from Chicago, David? I wonder. Are you from the city?
Am I from Chicago? I'm not from Chicago.
He's an Indiana boy.
I'm an Indiana boy, Pat Hughes. Myron, be specific. What am I saying that offends you?
All the time, the Bears, even when they lose or win, David's always harping on them. Come on, Dave. You got to give us a shot.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Myron. That David, try to be more positive. Try to be like Molly. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
I'm never cynical about the Bears. Mike is on the road. Hey, Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We live the dream, man. This is what it's all about.
Same here. So I was thinking, I'm born and raised in Chicago and definitely a Bears fan for life. And, like, the first game, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. But then I realized, they're playing – this is NFL, right? This ain't college.
Yes.
Caleb's going against, really good players.
Mm-hmm.
Give the kid a chance. And then our schedule definitely is playing in his favor. Gives him a chance to kind of see different than what he saw in college. And I just, like, I was always like a sad day Monday. But, I woke up this morning, grabbed my Bears jacket, put it on, zipped it up, and I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. And I'll tell you what, the game began, the first play, the kickoff, the opening kickoff, the Bears decided to take the ball because they wanted to get that offense going. We're getting out there. They usually would defer, but they did not defer because they wanted to get to it, get at Jacksonville. And they were – what was the penalty? It was bizarre. They had moved on the kickoff. They committed a penalty before
– On the opening kickoff.
On the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
And it was just ridiculous. And so they end – and I'm sitting there, and then they had a couple – three and outs, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I cannot believe
it's illegal formation because Daniel Hardy was lined up incorrectly.
Hardy, har, har.
You're like, here we go again.
And you did feel that way, but
everybody
allowed a field goal, yeah. So they trailed again. But, and it's a big but, they committed two penalties for 10 yards the whole game. That was, and one of them was before the game began.
That was a team that was well rested, well prepared, and well coached. On the opening drive, the Jacksonville Jaguars ran 14 plays and ended up with 3 points. They bent the Bears defense, but they did not break it, and they didn't break it all game long.
Right.
And that's why you feel good about this team after 6 games, regardless of the opponent. Then Caleb Williams progressing the way that he has. There's a lot to feel good about if you're a Bears fan. There's a lot to look forward to. They have put themselves in a position to be taken seriously and to justify the preseason hype. And that is the biggest takeaway from yesterday. Myron, all the people who've been waiting for positivity out there in Bears fandom, they found it yesterday in London.
Let's try the judge, Your Honor. Judge is on the
all
Odyssey
rise.
App.
All rise, Judge.
Hey, Judge.
How you doing?
Well,
we survived the hurricane down here.
Where are you?
Just outside Tampa Bay.
Oh, wow.
Right on the Gulf.
Yeah. Did you have to leave? Weren't you ordered out?
No. I live in a little bit of a higher area. They said to volunteer if you wanted to. But I'm a retired merchant seaman, so I had generators and everything all set and hooked up. And, extra air conditioning system put in. But it's 85 degrees, and my wife and daughter were complaining it was too cold in the house.
Well, anyway, glad you're okay.
Watched the game yesterday. Impressed. Like you said, there's a lot to look forward to. My only concern is, like you said, the first, 10, 12 minutes of the game,
right?
We've got to start faster. They bent, but they didn't break. But we can't let guys, we got teams coming up. We got Washington coming up. We got Green Bay. We got Detroit. We can't let them, just run over us like they did in the first quarter, or at least half of the first quarter. Because they will rack up some points real quick on us.
Yeah, that's a fair comment, Judge, and I'm glad you're safe. That is, and again, I wanted them – They had 10 penalties the other game, and I barked about it, said it's discipline and coaching, and they had 2 for 10 yards. So they
that's discipline and coaching.
They're getting better.
They're getting better.
And that you feel good about
The one thing to DJ Moore before we break said about Shane Waldron, and I think it goes for this entire coaching staff, they're open to conversation and communication. And Matt Eberflus appointed 8 captains for a reason. He is definitely – he wants some help here. He believes in the football character in that locker room. And whether it's having the leadership council meet with him, and it sounds corny, it really does. It has been effective, and they do believe in that. And I think that you saw that with Mercedes Lewis, who has been very vocal and open. They approached Shane Waldron and talked about it. And I don't think Shane Waldron withered or kind of resisted or resented that. He changed.
Yeah.
That's
an admirable trait.
That's mature. That's a mature coach. That's a mature staff. That is a mature team. And that is what gives you feeling like, okay, this isn't just something that's going to be fleeting. Do you think that they're positioned well for success this year?
We've got Dan and Marshall next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.